Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome to this week's news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, and joined by my colleagues, Nandine Tini and Herman Molloy. Guys, say hi.
Hi. Welcome back, Nandine.
Thank you. Why did I say thank you on your behalf? Sorry. We are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you stick with us as we look at all the controversies, laugh about the weird ones, and let's get comfortable and let's dive right in. So the NPA in Limpopo, under the director's advocate, Umukulin Tenga, has decided to not prosecute anyone in the Palapala case. Let's hear the advocate in Limpopo explain.
The director of public prosecutions in Limpopo, advocate Ivy Tenga, has taken a decision not to prosecute anyone in relation to the Palapala case. This is a decision that follows a comprehensive investigation process that was conducted by the Directorate of Priority Crimes Investigation following a complaint laid by Mr. Arthur Fraser with the South African Police Service. The criminal complaint was registered against the President of the Republic of South Africa, Mr. Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa. The complaint requested SAPS to investigate the conduct of the President and that of Major General Wally Rode, alleging that it amounted to the commission of money laundering and corruption. These investigations also covered any possible contravention of the Income Tax Act and the Exchange Control Regulations of 1962. The decision not to prosecute was taken by the DPP after a careful assessment of all available evidence presented to the prosecutors by the DPCI. She concluded that there is no reasonable prospect of a successful prosecution based on evidence contained in the police docket.
So basically they're saying that they don't have enough substantial evidence to actually pursue the case. So what is, like, he says basically the decision was made in accordance with the NPA's policy that says there needs to be a strong case put forward. Right. So what are you guys' thoughts, guys? From February 2020, we heard about this guy, you know. Okay, I'm saying this guy, it's not our president. But we heard about Cupcake having, you know, I was even thinking to myself, Jorge, like, while we were suffering in COVID-19, he was enjoying himself on the Limpopo farm and stuffing dollars in his couch, you know. It was such a, you know, everybody was worried about this disease. He was worried about his dollars. And
but also it says a lot about Ramaphosa and everyone else. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but if it was someone else, they would have went to further extreme in investigating and everything. Because when I read the statement, they don't have enough evidence linking him to this. And I also, like, I honestly think that they would have persecuted those guys if Ramaphosa was not within. So they are just saying we're not prosecuting everyone because we have our Ramaphosa inside.
Pagati inside.
So for me, right, I want to applaud NPA for taking a decision that they took. Let's leave the case. I'm speaking about in terms of taxpayers, how many cases they have went through your state capture and everything, whereby they lack evidence, but they decided to go. And remember, once they go to court, that means our tax is going also. So for them to say, no, we are not going to continue with this thing, it's kind of right. But again, with the crime committed, again, does not relate.
It can be argued that they say they don't have enough evidence. That can be, I think we can substantiously argue that. I mean, first of all, you have your farm workers, your cleaners. I mean, there was how many people who were arrested in that matter? And what's funny is that the three people who were arrested were just workers on the farm. So you're saying you have three workers who are now being prosecuted for what? Allowing a thief to come inside and supposedly steal this money. What was already stolen? And then now, on top of that, you're telling us there's not enough evidence. So you have three witnesses who can probably say, you know what, Ramaphosa, I'm so sorry for the language, but Ramaphosa effed me over. Let me just say that he did this.
But then, Gwena, these people have not signed Section 204.
Mm.
They are not willing to say we are state witnesses.
Mm.
And they are still arguing that they are innocent.
Mm.
So I think the case is not over, Babo. For now, yes, it might be seen over, but it's not over until these guys are prosecuted. Then if the NPA decides to say, where does this money come from? That's when they will have something solid to balance their case with.
Yeah, but at this point,
it was going to waste our money. Yeah. We were going to see, what's this? The Zuma case 2.0. I mean, it's been 20 years trying to prosecute the guy, but they are not winning because they don't have enough evidence. We are not saying Zuma did it or did not do it, but then they don't have enough evidence. That's why we even see Uzuma trying to recuse advocates, prosecutors, because it's all a play. And remember, it's our tax money that is being wasted.
I mean, again, with the Zuma case, I think I can argue they have some sort of evidence. Yeah. Even if, yes, it's not a lot, but it's still there. But I also think Uzuma also kind of plays around with the law. And I think he also is one of those people who doesn't necessarily respect it. Because how many times has the man supposedly fallen sick? And yet he is not sick that now he's out of prison. Yes. Thank you so much.
He has the whole party now.
Exactly.
Yeah, as I was saying, I have two sides to this case. The first side is NPA deciding to say, let's not prosecute this guy now. I hope it's now. I hope it's now. But again, what are you telling us? I mean, a crime was committed.
Yes.
This person had this sum of money against the policy, the government policies. Government policies clear. Have less than this much. Don't have more than this much. Once you have this much, you have committed a crime and you should be prosecuted. But they are not prosecuting him, which is wrong. But again,
hopefully, like you're saying, it's not
enough.
Hopefully in the future, vele we also.
Because he needs to answer.
He does. He does need to answer certain questions. Because
maybe they're waiting for his term, for his end term, and
I don't know
whether he's innocent or guilty. He needs to answer. He needs to ask. And I'm glad Malema also mentioned that they are not going to let this matter rest. And Malema also, maybe I can say we are on the same side with him. Because he's saying, we are not saying you are guilty, my guy.
But
come and explain to us what happened. We are not saying you are guilty.
I think at this point, as a nation, he definitely needs to hold a family night again and explain properly.
Yeah. What happened? Because even the kind of was that the Section 209, I think, found that there's prima facie evidence that can lead to this guy being prosecuted. So let's deal with the
it's for them to say there's not a strong case. I'm finding that very, very kind of hard to believe. But you know what? We move on and we definitely move on, guys. Speaking of prosecution and you know your police and evidence. So Pop Crew has expressed shame. If those who don't know what Pop Crew stands for, is the Police and Prisons Civil Rights Union. So they have expressed shame and disappointment at the conduct of a police sergeant, right? Who ahead of her appearance in her today's court in I'm guessing Kilimpope as well.
Yes.
Sinwabarwana. Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
It was chowing me also.
Yes. So the 43-year-old duty sergeant was apprehended on Thursday for allegedly benefiting from at least 10 million in payout from funeral, accidental and life insurance policies from various banks and insurance companies. So she is linked to 6 murders, guys. From destitute, disadvantaged backgrounds and disabled from mentally challenged. Basically, her victims are basically the, how can I put it? They are very much, yeah, guys, those victims are, I don't know how to put it, man. That is not demeaning, but at the same time, they are mentally, I'm going to put it how they put it. They are mentally challenged. They're from disadvantaged backgrounds. Basically, she took advantage of people that she knew she could take advantage of. So, and so she's basically, and obviously this is one of the trends I've been seeing this, man. What's going on with the women in the police? Let me put it like that. The women in the police force. It's like now they're seeing this as a trend and they're saying, you know what? It's a quick way to make money. Let me do it. But my thing is that do they not realize that they could get caught? I mean, as a police officer, you should realize there's certain consequences, certain things that can go into it. And you have, Captain Banda. Banda, ne? Is it not the lieutenant captain? He's the one who's handling the cases. Yeah. And he's the one who's actually the one who's been handling the cases, life insurance. I think he's the same one who apprehended Rosemary, right? Rosemary, there was also another woman who I actually interviewed, who I did a case on as well, of the Rosemary case. He also did that one. Yeah. And now he's also handling this one. So this man is kind of sort of a legend in regards to insurance cases. Yeah. And he's my thing is that, so you know that there's someone like this in the department. And you say, no, sure, let me go on and kill 6 people and get insurance. Like, what? Where's the sense in that? And even hers, it's even fresh. It's 2019, like, guys. It's right here.
No, so police think
the
that
name
they...
of oh, Captain. Sorry, it's Mabunda.
Mabunda.
Yeah, it's Captain Mabunda.
Nandi, no, you can go on.
No, I really feel like police think that they are above the law. So with Rosemary, maybe this one maybe felt motivated. Okay, if Rosemary could do it, why not? And plus, we know that police, we trust them in the community. So she really, Atlanta spoke about something, Guti. This person saw the vulnerability of these people. And instead of being their hero, that's when she took advantage of them. I think that's what was going on in her mind. Which if I can get the disability funds from these people, I'll be fine. I mean, 10 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And to people that actually trust you, I don't think police should be lenient now. I think they're like straight.
I think they should maybe get more punishment.
Yeah, more punishment is needed.
They know the law.
Mm. But then, guys, when you say police shouldn't be more lenient or the justice system, what kind of punishment do you feel like it's proper? Because even life sentence is not
proper. It's not proper anymore.
I just want to hear your thoughts, guys, on that. Yeah.
I mean, these people have pension fund, okay?
But then,
I don't know, Herman, but...
But don't they lose their pension funds in terms of cases like this? Or do they still have it afterwards?
Like, they should...
That's wrong.
I'm not for criminals. But we know, guys, our prisons has tend to be holiday resort. So wishing for someone to go to prison is no longer a punishment should be.
I mean, right now, I think the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, I think he's working on something to bring back the death penalty or some sort of like that. I heard on
but
the
that also is, that also is scary, man. Death penalty is questionable. Like,
I think it's not gonna work,
but I think it would deter people. As I was speaking to Tulani, another colleague of ours, and we just had the conversation that yes. Tulani even made a joke. He's like, because I told him, well, sometimes with a death penalty, what if you're saying the wrong person? That's the problem. You send someone wrong to the death penalty, but then he says collateral damage. He called it collateral damage, but people would be deterred. I sort of agree with him in a sort of that thing. If available, the death penalty was brought back. And yes, there was collateral damage, in Tulani's words. There would be some sort of deterrence. But at the same time, we must not forget that crime also goes hand in hand with the economy, how the economy is. And if our economy is still bad, crime is still going to always exist. But my thing is that in situations where the police are the ones who are then now behind bars, who are in handcuffs, then what then is the justice system if at the end of the day they are not being, how can I put this, being put as examples as to say, let's not do this because this person is doing this. I mean, the Pop Crew spokesperson, spokesperson Richard Mamabolo says that the police still have integrity. Here's an audio from that clip from Capricorn FM.
One of the takeaway points that we need to make clear has been the fact that, you know, as much as this might obviously be to the discredit of certain members of the police service, a majority of them remain committed to serving the people of South Africa.
So, but my thing is that at the end of the day, I guess in some sort of way, we still have Captain Mabanda. We still have Captain Mabunda, and we can still at least have that sense of there are still good police
out there. Yeah.
Out there. Mm. But my thing is that if you are all forever having a bad fruit in a already short-staffed department, I think they are calling out police again.
They are calling out police officers to come back who left the SAPS in a good term. You should come back.
And the thing is that you actually hear documentaries about the police officers who left for better pay, who left for better services, who left for... I mean, some of them even joined private security companies. Mm. They went from a police person to a private security company because it was so much better. The department is understaffed. It has underpaid. It is... There's so many problems. I think we can... Like I said, we always talk about the police in every episode. But there's just so many qualities that go into it that... We need to not only see the problem, but it needs to stop being a thing where the police are reactive. They need to be proactive.
So, guys, we saw the story. My question is, do we have a problem with insurance companies? Should they tighten their system, or what do you think? What is the thing? I mean, we have seen so many cases that relates to this thing whereby people kill people to get payments.
Mm.
So what should happen? What should insurance company do from now? What that you think can work in terms of stopping or...
Honestly, I don't think the insurance companies can do anything. They're just doing their job.
Exactly.
Somebody dies, they give you the money. That's all
that,
they
that's
do.
That's the whole process.
That is literally the whole process of an insurance company.
Don't you feel like there's something that needs to be done? Maybe...
I don't
we
think
sign
it's
an
on the
agreement if you are feeling me in your policy.
I don't think it's on the insurance
we
company.
We're signing an agreement of
money. No, I mean, if you take my ID, Nenan, and you're going to open a policy, I should be there. To sign,
but you're
to say
dead.
Yes.
No, before that, because like they usually go and say they put you in a police.
Yeah, when you are busy submitting my ID
okay,
document,
that one should be.
I should be there and sign to say yes.
But in that way, Herman, they would still kill you.
I was about to say they still kill you.
That's why I'm saying. I hear you guys. That's why I'm saying. Well, maybe there's something. I thought maybe you can think of something that I'm
honestly,
not thinking.
I don't think insurance companies or disability companies, they can do much more than what is already done. Mm. I mean, they have these sort of measures. Like they have the thing. I think they do. There's certain like confirmations that they do before they even
give you the money.
Mm. So it's a matter of you need to prove of death or something like that. You need to bring in a witness or some. There's certain policies.
They're doing their part.
I think now it's just a matter of
we are in a cruel world.
Yeah,
guys.
Thank you. I think that's it. We are in a cruel world. It's a cruel, cruel world. What my family, what do we say? Mpia ija mpianyana. It's literally that. And now because our economy is so bad, and my thing is also, I think this is also another problem the South Africans have. We always want to make a quick buck. We always want to make quick man, and that's also the problem because this is quick man. Killing someone, getting the cash tomorrow, it's quick man. Okay,
How do you live with yourself when you have killed someone?
What
actually, when you are a police officer,
yeah. I don't know, man.
How do you live with yourself?
But other people, like, they believe they are good people. And regardless of what they do, they have that thing which I'm a good person. Mm.
And again, the statement from Maji, Aslenda Maji, Brigadier Aslenda Maji, it's very concerning. She said at least six.
It means more.
There can be more.
There can be more. They should investigate.
It's bad, Chief.
Commissioner of the SAPS, General Fally Masemola, welcomes the arrest of the 43-year-old sergeant who is attached to a police station in Limpopo. The on-duty sergeant was arrested following a lengthy investigation by Captain Keshi Mabunda on allegations that she was fraudulently benefiting from funeral, accidental and life policy covers from various banks and insurance companies. The information that we have is that the victims, the deceased, were known to her. They were from destitute, disadvantaged backgrounds. Some were disabled. Some were mentally challenged. She would take out life policies and funeral covers on their behalf, and she would be their beneficiary. She's currently linked to about six insurance-related matters, and evidence shows that she has already pocketed about 10 million.
And I think even with Rosemary, it was six people. I'm not sure, but then I guess because it happened a long time, I forgot the details. But I still think it was six people. And also she cashed out.
Yeah.
And this one also did the same thing. And if this one did it, who did it else?
There can
it's be all
more.
About
Diddy. Yeah,
there can be there are more. Like,
Heaven, you're an idiot. Let's move on, guys. Guys, spaza shops are once again trending. I think spaza shops are always trending for various different reasons. But this time they're trending because five children on Sunday passed. God bless their souls. They passed due to alleged food poisoning from a local tax shop in Naledi. So the Soweten spoke to most of the family members and just we just got a general sense of what was going on, how they were feeling.
So mangwana o ka mo kitchen wa mo chika wa wena o kena o pusha mnyako wa sa kene handle yena arai ke a shake ka ke right wa na ke nana hore maybe una le motho mo mathisa go strata nga ke re bana ba stoti ke maybe una le ntwa yentse so o balela ka montho ha phitla ka mo ke patsame mo bete ar mama ne ntshuse ke mke tlogolo sa ka mara mpitsa mama ar mama ne ntshuse ke re keng ar ke a shake ke a kula ke monke ke re mana ke rai ke mo tlobole dieta ke re pala ma bete re paqa tsare mama na ke right ke tloshwa mama ne ke mmotsa ke re pop ha o ntse o tloshwa o jile eng o tsadila ra ka ja next ne ke ile ko parking ne ke batla o kalama aeroplane ya ko parking ebe ke utla ke feela dizzy ebe ke tla ke tla montlung ha ka ja next ha tsala a hlatsa o hlatsa bo brown ha hlatsa bo brown ke mmotsa ke re ya e pop o na le ntsho o jile eng yena a rae ke la reka mazemba ko Daniel ke jile mazemba.
With after speaking to the families, it was a matter of let's do a sort of a project as well, like we did last week with the drug mules. So we approached the departments of health in every metropolitan municipality to get an understanding of how do these inspections work in spaza shops, because this is not the first time a child has died in a spaza shop related incident. So we're like, okay, then where are the inspectors then to make sure that the children were eating good things? And what's funny is that, okay, I'll come back to that later, but when we were speaking to the officials, they said that majority of the cases, and they even referenced last year's case, which was in the same area in Naledi, where two kids died as well, just two streets away from the five children who died. They said that case of the two children, it was not food poisoning from the spaza shop. It had nothing to do with the cookies those kids ate. It was actually organophosphate, which is a chemical that is found in halipirin. Red poison. And so they're saying, basically the health directors are saying that it has nothing. I'll even reference MEC of Health, Eni Makafule. On the day, well, I think it was Tuesday, she visited the families. And on the day, she revealed herself as well that it was not food poisoning from the spaza shops. It was something else.
Because it was not, remember what we allegedly had the report, we suspected it was food poisoning. But according to the reports, they were not. With the samples that we took from the snack, it was not those snacks.
What about from the spaza?
No, I guess they took the samples that the snack that they ate that we thought had caused the food poisoning. According to the reports we got from the lab, it was not those snacks.
So what was
it might
the cause
be post mortem. According to the post-mortem, it was something they consumed, but not the snacks. So that's why we are aiding the communities, like you are saying. The things we use, maybe for road reductions, that they're controlling bomahot and all that in our household, we need to ensure that banabarna they don't have access to those things.
So obviously, the question obviously is, where is it from? Yeah. What are these kids in consuming? And the health authorities are saying that, well, it may be the fact that it's either the children are eating it in other foods that may have this substance, or the children perhaps are being fed it and they don't know it, or it basically is various methods and various reasons, right? But the problem, but here's the thing, it's not the spaza shops that is the problem.
But can I remember, I asked you, was it on Wednesday?
Mm.
Where were they playing?
That's the question. That's my question. And what's funny is that when we tracked back where the children are playing, they like to play in various houses in the streets. Basically, it's five children, so they like playing in their own homes.
Oh,
so
jiggy
one day they're playing in Mang Mang's house. Jiggy one day they're playing at Hammond's house. Right. So in an instance like that, so it seems as if the children must have picked up something along the way. And you know that thing when you're being under pressure, your family or your mother say, what did you eat, when you say, the first thing that comes to you, no, you know, that's the first thing that comes up. And the thing is, in situations like this, there's never a child, like again there's never a child that lives to actually say, no, we ate this. And it's always that one thing, that last child who says, no, Daniel, and then everybody goes off that Daniel. Whereas the child probably could have eaten something before that. The child could have eaten something way before, and we don't know what he could have eaten. But the thing is that also, but that what now contradicts that statement is what the health director from Joburg says, that allopurinol works very fast. It's a very fast drug. It's not a drug, sorry. It's a very fast substance. It does its purpose.
Sure.
It does its purpose. It makes sure that allopurinol. And that's what it does.
Yeah,
I have to agree with him. I mean, it's not like after a red, it's this poison. It's gonna go and chill somewhere.
Yeah,
and
you can
die
see
later.
Something has happened.
It dies at that moment after eating. It's gone. Again, with this incident of five kids, yes, we got an explanation.
Yeah,
but what concerns me, it's what the minister in presidency, or she was the minister in presidency, Javeni said. She said, we need to stop buying from unregistered shops.
On the second issue around the spaza shops, and this is an issue that is very close to my heart. When I was Minister of Small Business and Development, we started a drive to make sure that all spaza shops are registered in the country. That would have dealt with the ownership of spaza shop in South Africa. That drive continued, but it was South African who took us to court and say, you cannot force the registration. There is a court judgment that says even illegal foreign nationals are allowed to operate, whereas the law of the country says to operate a business in South Africa, you must be registered. And for a foreign national to operate a business in South Africa, they must have made an investment of no less than 5 million rands. All of us listening to me now know that it doesn't cost 5 million rands or more than 5 million rands to open a spaza shop. You can open a spaza shop with as little as 1,000 rands. Sometimes people open spaza shops with as little as 400 rands or 350 rands from the SRP grants. So as South Africans, we must take a decision. We are the ones who buy at the spaza shops. If we want to make sure that these spaza shops that are illegal, that are selling products that are not safe for our children, because some of them are fake. But what is worse is that the consumption products, some of them are made at the backyards of those spaza shops. We must take a decision as a society that we are not buying at the spaza shops. We are not buying at the spaza shops where we are not sure where they are buying their products from. We are not buying at the spaza shops where the spaza shops are not registered in their municipalities.
But so what is tell she me, saying?
No, tell me, a 5-year-old wants snacks. So he goes to a store and say, brothers, are you registered?
How?
And brothers say, yeah, no, I'm not. Okay, I'm going to leave.
It's not.
So does it make sense? why don't you have an inspection team that goes to those shops every Tuesday?
Or no, every he's the kicker. He's the kicker, guys. You guys are, I actually enjoyed doing this project. Well, I enjoyed interviewing the inspectors more than the broken families. Because the inspector says, okay, let me put it like this, right? In Tshwane, there's only... Let me open the books here. There's only one inspector in Tshwane for every 60,000 people. One inspector for every 60,000 people. Tshwane has 74 inspectors in the city, right? Ekurhuleni has 94 inspectors in the city, and Joburg has at least whatever, 221 inspectors. But let's not forget, the city of Joburg is big.
I'm not saying.
But you're saying that
they must
wear it because. And but the thing is,
I mean, you have China Mall, you have small streets,
you have a lot.
And we have eggs.
It's okay, man. But my thing is that so you have Tshwane that has to inspect every 60,000 people. There's one inspector in Ekurhuleni. Every one inspector inspects 22,000 people, and then in Joburg, every one inspector inspects every 27,000 people. Mind you, inspectors don't only inspect spaza shops; they have waste management, they have water quality, they have other jobs. They have other things to inspect, right?
Yes.
And here's again the national regulation says no, there has to be an inspector for one person for every 10,000. So already they're already over it. They don't have the capacity. They really do not have the capacity. They don't have the capacity for that management. And on top of that, the city of Tshwane says the difficulty comes in the fact that spaza shops are informal. So one spaza shop pops up here, jiggy jiggy, it's closed. One pops up here, jiggy jiggy, it's closed. So they can't keep track of how many pop up and how many close. Mm. And he also says that they themselves, they only get to find out about a spaza shop when there's a complaint. Mm. So they don't even know, probably, they didn't even know that Udaniel existed until Mwana ate something, Udaniel, and died. Mm. And they're like, oh, so there's a spaza shop here in Naledi.
But Udaniel has where he stock his product. Why can't they go there?
No. They do go there. You know
the problem is what, Joe? Remember, these people live in the back room. So they are from wherever they are. they come and pay rent. And after 3 months, they fail to pay rent, and then they move to the next landlord.
Mm.
And then when they get there, they open another spaza shop. So it's a bit difficult to identify, to say, okay, we have many from...
Kai.
Lives here. So that's a problem with spaza shops.
It's a very, very big problem. Yeah. And one thing the inspectors were saying is that not only does it make it hard for them to keep track of it, some of them, they only have a few who actually come and register their tech shops.
Yeah.
And others don't come. They like I said, he even said they work on a reactive basis.
Mm, mm.
So if they are not proactive, they can't be. It's like he's basically saying, well, we cannot be proactive because of how many spaza shops are out there and how much little forces we have.
Yeah.
And honestly, kind of, as much as we'd like to blame the inspectors, we can't, because there's no capacity, there's no budget for them to inspect. Mm. I mean, Tshwane says they inspect at least once a year. Tshwane says once a year. Ekurhuleni said at least whenever they try to go back to them at least twice, you know. But the standard is that they're supposed to go. Joburg, whenever...
Joburg,
let's not talk to Joburg, guys. But they're basically saying, apparently the standards and norms, they're supposed to go every 3 months. And if it's not every 3 months, and if it's a big problem, they're supposed to go there like every week. But they don't have the capacity to do that. They don't. And because they don't have the capacity, do you see how many connecting dots are there? Like, they don't have the capacity, they don't have the budget, and because they don't have these things, you get poisonous food. But here's the thing, what you were mentioning at the market, what you were saying, that they're like, No, guys, they do samplings. They sample the food. They don't only stop at the tax shop that bought it. They also go way beyond and go to the market. where they bought it. He's like, you will find that these people are buying from Makro. They're buying from where? These markets that you know very well. So are you going to say that Makro is selling you poisonous food? Are you going to say that they're selling you poisonous food? So that's even to at some point after even speaking to every inspector, Tulani's like, hey, at this point, Rabakulela. what then? That's, and it begs the question, then what is the problem? Then what is it? But here's the thing, Ali Prem is illegal. I think the problem starts in the communities that allow the street vendors to sell
Yes.
Aliprim is very illegal. You're not supposed to be buying it. It cannot be regulated. And by the, they sell it in these small packets for 5 rand. And there are many guys. When we went to Tokoza, there were many on the streets, and that's how accessible it is. I think that's the first problem. It's very accessible. And for a community to cry, I think here's also the hypocritical part. The community to cry that the kids are dying. You know what is killing the kids, but you don't do anything about it. And let's not lie, spaza shops are very vital in communities. They are very, very vital. They are important.
And I don't think spaza shops sell Alperin. It's those guys that walk around the streets.
We can't blame Alperin if fail. I mean, we have people, we have seen videos. We have people who manufacture their own goods, their own food. Mm. Let's look at it with a 50-50 way.
Mm.
Yes, Alperin is illegal. Mm. And it's our brothers who are selling this thing. And they are selling it for rats. But as a child, when you see this thing, sometimes you think, oh, no, it's a spice or a cheat. So, yes, we have to go to them. But we can't ignore the issue of spaza shops and say, no, we are focusing on the jalapeno. Let's focus on both things. Because spaza shop, we know that there are people who are solid. I mean, we know in every industry there are people who are proper, they are bound by the laws, but we have people who don't do those things, who buy from Utabo manufacturers in the back room. And again, health regulation is very important. Again, also, we have people who are sleeping next to Amazimba and Amachepis. We have people who have toilets inside their spaza shop or tech shop. So let's not try to avoid the conversation that we need to make sure that our spaza shops are clean, they abide by the law, and they don't sell expired food. Because sometimes that's the case.
By the way, guys, people who didn't know, expired food is not best before. It's sell by, and used by. It's not best before. Best before doesn't mean it's expired. I just wanted to clarify that. I learned a few things with the inspectors.
Yeah, and you're delivering.
Anyway, guys, but Herman is right, guys. I think the topic, like I said, the topic of spaza shops will forever be a problem and will forever be resurfacing. But I think it goes to show that sometimes it's not Daniel.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not Daniel. Yeah. Sometimes it can be that Ugogo forgot to put the Aliprim away.
Yeah. I mean, your topic teaches us that we don't have to actually, when we discover that there's a murder, and then we go and blame James, or we go and blame whoever sells whatever. Let's get the facts right. Let's sit down to say, Chief, what are you saying about it? No, Barikile Mazimba, they are from this period. Okay, can we see the sell by and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, Sharp, where did you buy this neck? I bought them here. Okay, let's go there. What's happening there? And then after we discovered, oh, no, man, Tower is selling fake food or whatever.
Yeah.
That's when we can react and say, Chief, close your stuff.
Yeah.
Close your shop and leave.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, let's just hope the police can get a hang of it and close the cases.
It's been a sad week for the kids.
I think it's been a sad week for children in general.
Yeah.
Guys, especially with the school things, the children that drowned. But hopefully next week we'll have more information and we can talk about that one as well.
And hopefully we'll have something positive to talk about.
Exactly, I think something positive. Yeah. But that's all for this week's News Wrap, guys. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts, review and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Go Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.